Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you on this edition. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you would like to discuss, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a great passage out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. A pretty bleak description of humanity apart from Christ. That is what we were like before we received this good news of Jesus Christ. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. This is one of those proof texts as far as our need for the grace of God. That's why God had to do what he did in Jesus. That's why he had to show us favor through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That's why he had to make us alive together with Christ, and that's exactly what grace does. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So what does the grace of God do? It takes us, it meets us at where we were dead spiritually, but it doesn't leave us there. It makes us alive together with Christ. That's why this salvation is so wonderful and is so incredible to know that we who were dead in sins have been made alive in Christ. So to be saved by grace simply means this: you have been made alive with Jesus Christ. You were dead, and now you are alive in him. Mm-hmm. That's what this grace of God is all about, and that's good news, isn't it, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it makes me think of the silliness of standing over a coffin and there's a corpse inside, and perhaps it's even a loved one or someone that we know. And what we try to do in that moment, instead of seeking a miracle, instead of praying for resurrection, instead of allowing the EMTs to do their work originally, we stood over that person and we examined their life, we examined their lifestyle, their behavior, and then we sought to read them some new instructions, or we sought to get out an instruction book for living and begin to bark commands at them about behavior. Well, you can see the silliness in that whole picture. I mean, they're dead. They need life. It's not that they need behavior reform or behavior improvement. They don't need principles. They need paddles. I mean, they literally need those EMTs to come along at the moment of their death and resurrect them with the paddles. They need a miracle. They need divine life to intervene. They need God to do something. And that's what Ephesians 2 is saying. It's saying that real salvation is not just sort of having faith in some generic sense, like Hollywood people talk about faith or political figures talk about faith. It's not just faith for faith's sake. It's not church attendance or behavior reform. It is literally getting new life. It is getting resurrection life. It is Jesus Christ coming to resurrect you to newness of life. And when we see that, we start really treasuring what we have in Christ Jesus. And that can make all the difference about how we view our salvation and our life in him.
That's exactly right. As you were talking, Andrew, I was thinking of the words of Robert Capon, who was an Episcopal priest, and he said, we think we have to qualify for this salvation. We have to do this, do that, or all sorts of things. And he said, but the only qualification is that we're dead spiritually. And with that, we all qualified. Mm-hmm. And when the grace of God hit our hearts, we were made alive together with Christ. So when Paul goes on to say, for it is by grace that we are saved, and this is not from ourselves, This is the gift of God. What is he talking about? He's talking about this new life that he has given us in Christ. That's the gift. That's what we have been given, new life in Jesus Christ. And until I figured that out, until I really saw what salvation was, I struggled immensely in my Christian experience. Mm-hmm. All I knew was me trying to do better, do more, be better, be more. All of those things just all on my shoulders, the shoulders of human effort, and I never could figure out why it wasn't working. And then when I discovered that salvation is all about being made alive, getting his life, things clicked, and I found this new way of grace and allowing Christ Jesus to live his life in and through me. And I guarantee you there's a lot of people out there listening today who are struggling in their Christian experience. It doesn't make sense to them. They're scratching their heads, wondering, what's going wrong here? Why am I missing it? Well, maybe it's because you haven't understood that salvation is first and foremost being made alive together with Christ. And if that's the case, we encourage you to take a deep look into this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and allow the Lord to really teach you the truth, that it is all about me being made alive together with Christ. That is grace. And once you know that is the grace of God, it will just explode in your Christian experience.
Yeah, we would love for you to join the conversation right now. The toll-free line is open, wide open, as a matter of fact, at 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Hey, if YouTube is your go-to resource to learn how to do or fix things like it is mine, why not use YouTube as a go-to resource to learn how to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus? Basic Gospel is producing a short but powerful videos to help you do just exactly that. And all you need to do to access those is subscribe to the Basic Gospel channel at YouTube. Again, that would be basicgospel.net/YouTube, and we would love for you to take advantage of those. So you can do that 24 hours a day. As you can, call that phone number, 844-322-2742. As a matter of fact, Chris did, and we're going to take his question right now.
Yes, my name is Chris. I have a question from Genesis 4:15. I would like to know what God meant by he putting his mark on Cain. Thank you.
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm assuming that Chris wants to know what the mark looked like or what exactly it was. And we don't have any information about that. It simply says that God put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. I mean, God had made a promise to him, mm-hmm. and so he marked him, and that was to enable that promise to be fulfilled. And so that was the case. Yeah. And I'm assuming when people did find him, they saw whatever that mark was, and they left him alone. So we don't know any details as to what the mark looked like, if it was an actual mark on the skin or the forehead or anything like that. It just simply says that God put a mark on Cain, and anyone who found him stayed away from him. They did not kill him, and that's exactly what God had promised he would do for Cain.
Yeah. Chris, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Again, 844-322-2742. Lines available right now.
Well, let's go to Dallas, Texas, and we're going to talk with Sabrina, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi.
Welcome to Basic Gospel. What's on your mind today?
I have a question about if your spouse takes money from you. That's a sign of betrayal to me, and it made me very upset, and I'm just trying to figure out how I need to handle this. You know, he took my card, my credit card, and I thought I had lost it, but I found out that he had gotten it. At first he told me he didn't get it, but then I called the credit card people, and they said that it was a cash advance, and so I asked him, and then he just said, oh, yeah, I did get it, you know, and I don't understand this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sabrina, are you under one roof with him? Do you live together still?
Yes.
And do you have shared finances, shared bank account, and that kind of thing?
No, this was my own personal credit card that I had, let him use once before and gave him the PIN number and everything.
I see. So you are paying rent together or paying a mortgage together, you're living together, you're going through life together.
Yeah, well, the home that we're living in is my home, you know, before the, our marriage, so I don't have a mortgage.
Okay, and are you both believers?
Yes.
Okay, and how long have you been married?
4 years.
Okay, so you're both believers, you've been married 4 years, and you live together, but you have separate finances. Is that generally correct?
Yes.
Okay. And was there a reason for that you decided to go that route, to have separate finances and not share?
Well, I have my checking account, and he has a checking account, and so, and I pretty much pay the bills that we do have out of my account, and then he takes care of some of the other things, like the groceries and different things like that.
Okay. So you have an arrangement. I mean, you know, I'm sure you know that a lot of married folks decide to share their finances. They have credit cards that draw from the same account. They have checks that draw from the same bank account. There's not necessarily a perfect way to do things, but, you know, it's on my radar just to say that perhaps you guys might want to communicate and talk through why you have separate finances, and if there's some sort of trust issue there. You know, he's broken a rule, I guess, that you set up in advance, and so it hurts your feelings, and you wish he hadn't done it. And, you know, there's a place for you to forgive him for what he did there. If he truly, you know, did something wrong, if he deceived you, lied to you, tricked you, then it would be normal for you to feel betrayed and hurt. And the only real answer to that, you know, biblically, scripturally speaking, is to forgive him and not keep score with him, and just let him off the hook for that, and go ahead and forgive and love him going forward. And it's healthy for you to tell him, you know, that it hurts you and that that you don't think that's good practice. But I think there's a deeper conversation that you guys need to have, perhaps about having been married 4 years and both being believers. Why did he feel that he had to come take that from you, and why aren't you guys sharing your money, you know, evenly together and working out a budget and working as a team in your marriage, as the Lord works in each of you to knit you together and unify you and put you on the same page and the same team? So I think, you know, forgiveness is the immediate need. You can forgive him, but also it sounds like there's some deeper conversations that you might want to have with your husband, and perhaps figure out how the two of you can be more of one mind, even financially. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Does that help?
Yes.
All right.
Sabrina, let me put you on hold. We've got a little CD on marriage that we will send you, and I want you and your husband to sit and listen to that together, and that could be something that could help you dive into the conversation that Andrew was encouraging you to do. It'll give you a foundation, give you some information that you can really use to help bring that conversation about. So you hold the line, Sabrina. We'll send that to you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Friends, you can access that same CD on marriage by going to our online store at basicgospel.net. You'll find it and all the other resources available when you visit the store at basicgospel.net. Right now, 844-322-2742. We have lots of time on the clock and plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis. And again, welcome, 844-322-2742. You know, for many of us, YouTube has become the one-stop shop to find out how to do stuff, and it's a great way to share the gospel, too. Basic Gospel is producing, as I said earlier, some short but very powerful videos to show you what the true Christian life should look like and be like. And they're a great way to share truth with your friends as well. You can subscribe to the Basic Gospel YouTube channel at youtube.com/basicgospel. We have so many URLs these days, it's just hard to keep up with them.
Well, they're all tied to basic gospel,
they
though,
are
so
indeed.
There you go. There's the common thread.
Yeah, so once again, youtube.com/basic gospel. Let's talk to our friend Brad. He dropped us a recorded message.
Hi, this is Brad from O'Fallon, Missouri, and I was looking through the scriptures about the word grace, and I don't know if you're going to discuss it this month, but there are 11 occurrences of the word grace in the Old Testament, along with everything that's in the New. And when you read through those verses, it's the same exact grace in operation in the Old Testament that we have in Jesus in the New. So I just thought that was an interesting fact that the listeners might be interested in hearing. God bless you. Bye.
Thanks, Brad.
Well, thanks, Brad. And yes, there's, you know, God is always going to be reaching down to us in grace, and he's done so throughout human history. But we see the fulfillment of grace in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so back in the Old Testament, even though God reached down in grace, they weren't made alive together with Christ because the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ hadn't occurred. So he reached down to them in grace in a way that pointed them forward to the coming Messiah. It's interesting when you look at Abram's life and Abraham, you know, who became Abraham. You know, God just showed up in his life.
Yes.
You know, Abram had left where he was living, and they traveled a little bit, went to this place called Haran, and then God shows up and has this conversation, and he gives them all these promises and blessings. And you look at that and you say, well, that's grace. That's what grace is. And then how did Abraham respond? By faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So right there we see the plan of salvation, the program of salvation, by grace, through faith, in Jesus. And when Abraham believed God, it was in relationship to the promise that through him, you know, through his seed, the world would be blessed. That's when Abraham said, hey, I believe that. And God said to you, I'm crediting righteousness. So it is by grace through faith in Jesus. We see that. So we look at that and we think, well, how does that, how is that relevant to us? Well, when God showed up, when the gospel showed up, when the message concerning Christ showed up, it was a message filled with promises and blessings.
Yep.
We responded, and we were made alive together with Christ, and Christ sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. So what we see in that story of Abraham finds its fulfillment as in us when we come to faith in Jesus and are made fully alive. We received the blessing that God promised to Abraham thousands and thousands of years ago. So God's plan has always been by grace through faith in Jesus. It will always be that way. That's how we're saved. That's how we live. It's grace in the beginning, grace in the middle, grace in the end. That's the very nature of grace. And, you know, we think, oh, he's gonna act in justice. Well, he did. He balanced the books of justice at the cross. That's been taken care of. And so he reaches down to us freely, graciously, and provides for us the very thing that we cannot provide for ourselves, and that's new life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Brad, thanks for that. And Andrew, did you have something to add to that?
Yeah, you know, I just got back from New Mexico where I bought a Ford. I bought a Ford Focus, and I worked out a really good deal with this dealership. And when I brought it home, you know, I was so happy to get a great price on it. Now, imagine that, you know, 430 days later, the dealership calls me up and says, you owe more. Hey, Andrew, you owe more on this car. And they start trying to renegotiate the contract or something. Well, look, a contract that's been made has been made. It's been ratified. It's been signed. A deal's a deal, so to speak. Well, you know, the deal that Bob's talking about, you know, it was God promising something to Abraham. And it was a promise by faith that Abraham would be the father of many nations. In other words, salvation is not dependent on your background, your lineage, your heritage, your country. It's all free by grace through faith. And then, 430 years, not days, but years, Moses comes on the scene, and there's the law, and they're told to obey the law. But look, that's just like the car deal. Look, the deal's already been struck. I mean, it's already been signed. It's by grace through faith. So absolutely, Brad is right. 13 times grace is mentioned in the New King James, 20 times grace is mentioned in the Old Testament, because that was the original promise. It was the original car deal. It was the original contract that we would be saved by grace through faith. And the law didn't change that. The law coming in 430 years later did not change the original deal that was signed. So that's the deal that we enjoy today. We see the effects of it through the cross and resurrection, and we're praising God for the name of Jesus. But this contract of grace, it was signed long ago in the days of Abraham, and the law is no caveat. It is no addendum. It is no change in that original contract.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, thank you, Andrew. Well, let's go down to Waco, Texas, and talk with Joan, listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Joan.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just was listening. I was surfing the channel and picked the program up today, and I was just curious about a question. I heard another radio listener talk about finances in the marriage. I was just wanting to know if you have had a struggle in the past few years, if you've been married over 10 years and you had a problem with handling the finances, me or my husband, what is the best way to gain your trust back and keep a budget together and rebuild your trust?
Well, that's a great question, isn't it? And
yeah.
Joan, I think it really comes in communication. Money is one of those things we don't like to talk about. It's one of those issues that is complicated. We get tense. We have our way of doing things. Our mate normally has their way of doing things, and so it's fraught with confrontation and tension and all of that sort of stuff. But I think you still have to come to the table and come to the table on a regular basis. Talk about your finances, at least on a weekly basis, especially if you're in a situation like you've described, you have some trust issues there. Well, I think you want to be on the same page. That's the goal, right? You want to be on the
right.
Same page. You want what's best for the marriage, not what's best for you. Or not what's best for your husband. You want what's best for the marriage. And so you
right.
want to work to get on that same page with one another. And the only way that you can really do that is through communication and through really talking through the issues. Andrew was talking about putting together a budget, telling your money what you're going to do with it, and then sticking to it and kind of looking at it, every single week throughout the month. And then when you have a new month, you kind of tell your money what you want to do with it that month. And you come together on that. And I think that's how you do it. And it's that whole deal. You're one, aren't you? When you get married, when you're married in Christ, you're one with one another. So you want to be one with one another in every area of life, and especially with money. So I would say talk and be open, tell each other what your hopes and dreams and goals would be, put those down on paper, and then come together and say, okay, this is what we're going to do as a married couple. But let me put you on hold. We'll send you that marriage CD as well. Okay, Joan?
Thank you so much.
Thanks for
your call,
Joan. You're
so welcome.
Yeah.
You hang on.
Friends, how often do you go online to find out how to do something? Well, YouTube has quickly become the one-stop shop to learn how to do just about anything. We think of it as a great way also to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're producing short but very powerful videos to encourage you in your Christian walk. They're a great way to share the truth with your friends. Subscribe to the Basic Gospel YouTube channel at youtube.com/basicgospel. Again, that's youtube.com/basicgospel. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.